Did you know that I have a mute button now? This is because we do the podcast after lunch.
And you have gastrointestinal issues, John Stevens.
It's acid reflux.
It's good news for everybody except one person.
And the one good thing is it's liberated me. So now I can just
that waste
belt in
my way. Blow it to you.
This is Pod Heaven. Thank you for the napkins, Jeff. Are we on? Are we rolling?
Do you have an adult diaper, Jeff?
Because it's pollen. It's pollen season.
And
my mother in Georgia watches on YouTube and told me, you touch your nose too much. You touch your nose too much. As my nose itches, it's pollen. Have you seen the pollen levels outside? So now I have a tissue like an old man. Tissue in my pocket.
Or a gentleman, as your mother would
gentleman.
Say.
Gentleman. So yeah, I am not touching my nose. I am, she said, she's like, just blow your nose and be done with it. It's like, it doesn't work that way. It's still like, even now, whatever I did to it, it just itches. It's like tree pollen or something else. So there you go. I'm going to do the best I can to not touch my nose.
Do you want me to touch your nose for you?
You don't want to know what she says about you.
I don't. No. But you know what? As my sponsor often tells me, other people's opinion of me are none of my opinion, or none of my business.
None of your business?
Yeah. No. Other people's opinion.
That's actually really good.
None of my business.
See, I need to be in recovery.
I can take you to a meeting, John.
I need to go to a meeting. Because, I mean, that's some wise stuff.
There's some... Listen, it's worth an addiction just to show up in those places. I'm serious. I used to...
It's a good t-shirt.
I don't know any other place like it.
There, look, see, I'm scratching my nose. See, look at the pollen. Today, tree pollen, red high. Grass pollen, red high.
It's supposed to rain tonight,
ragweed
too. That's
going to moderate. Help. This is killing me. I mean, the allergies are just killing me.
Did you have allergies when you were in Georgia?
And I took the shots and did all that kind of stuff. So, well, hey, let's dive right in. Because we're going to do a shorter.
Let's go black.
We're doing a shorter podcast today. Today, this is coming out on Good Friday.
Mm.
So we've been going through Holy Week.
Yeah.
And Good Friday's upon us. And just in thinking about this week, I've been reading. I really like to read some of Richard Rohr's stuff. And he writes about Good Friday. Just your thoughts on this. Mm. Today, the primary human problem, the core issue that defeats human history, is both revealed and resolved on Good Friday.
Dang.
Listen to that again. He's pretty smart.
That's a Catholic. He's talking like
the primary human problem, the core issue that defeats human history, is both revealed and resolved. Because I always wondered, why is it called Good Friday?
Yeah. Do you know why?
Well, I'm thinking it has something to do connected with what I just read that he said. Why don't you tell us? Because you're smart.
I don't have like the etymology of the history, but I mean, it's like, I think that's the paradox that that Holy Week holds together. Because how could something so horrific actually be something that then produces anything but horror? But here's something that we think it's the end of God. It's the death of God, right? Mm-hmm. It's the forsakenness of God. And what comes out of that is like new life. Like, how can that be? How can the worst thing about me not be the last thing about me?
Ooh, I read that this morning. Buechner.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the second to the last thing.
It's going to kill you.
But he says that the central issue at work is the human inclination to kill others in any multitude of ways. Mm. We're not just talking
about really
murder.
Right.
Instead of dying to ourselves, to our own illusions, our pretenses, our narcissism, our self-defeating behaviors.
Who wants to do that?
Jesus dies for us, not in the sense of in place of, but in solidarity with, is what he says.
You know what? I've been thinking about that a lot because you and I have been taught a lot of different theories of the atonement. Hmm. And one of the theories of the atonement that I have never heard is a solidarity atonement. that this isn't a God that takes our place, not a God that raptures us out of it. It's not a God that, this is a God that stands with us to transform the moment, right? And I think there's something about that that's worth really leaning into. And I think Good Friday, I think.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's interesting. You learn some of this stuff in seminary and you realize that most people don't even know what these some of these words mean.
Yeah, right.
And yet they operate their whole lives based out of these certain theological
these
frameworks.
Symbols, yeah.
You know, like substitutionary atonement.
Right, right.
Right, so that's, you know.
Christus Victus.
Yeah. Jesus took your place. You should have died, took your place.
And he's like, he's standing in front of a God that's angry and is ready to whoop
and
somebody.
God, really, if God's going to be God and you stand in front of God, you're going to hell.
That's right.
But Jesus steps in between. I remember years ago, I was having a conversation with someone who was a part of this church, and they were in the process of leaving. And their whole life, they were Baptists. And I'm going to go on record right now and just say, I ain't got a problem with Baptists.
Yeah, your brother's a Baptist.
I got a problem with some of the theology.
Yeah.
But it was all about, we were having this conversation about holiness and sanctification, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very Wesleyan stuff, very Methodist stuff, you know, we are becoming more and more like Christ as we die to self, and we're moving towards holiness. And this person, like their head was going to explode. No, that's not the way it works. I'm a worm. I'm detestable. I'm
total depravity.
Yeah, but it made me realize how there are a lot of Christians that's the way they think about salvation.
Yeah.
It's the way they think about themselves.
Yes.
And then you start to realize, okay, well, now this carries over into a lot of other ways that people live their lives, the way they treat other people, the way they see other people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so when you're talking about, how did you term it? Solidarity.
Yeah, solidarity.
Atonement.
Yeah. That needs to be something that...
And standing with us.
Yeah.
I think is interesting. And what is that? They also you also learn theological words, imputed and imparted righteousness. Do you remember this?
Yes.
We're going back to
systematic
theology now.
Yeah. The systematic theology is so, there's such a lameness about it because it takes the very heart of God out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like seminary where you learn about cadavers. You know, and it's where life goes to die is in every systematic theology class I ever took, right? And that's the important stuff is the cadavers. It doesn't have any heart to it.
Yeah.
So I think that systematic theology without the heartbeat of...
But I think if you take that, like, imputed, imparted, what that means is, like, it goes back to that substitutionary right idea,
right.
Is that it's not, you're not, you can't be holy, you can't be good, it's only Jesus, only Jesus, I'm unworthy, so Jesus kind of just puts some of Jesus on me.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is that the Holy Spirit is regenerating your heart, your spirit, your soul. You are becoming a new creation.
Right.
That's very Wesleyan.
Yeah.
And you are being transformed and you are becoming more into the likeness of God.
And
not that you're becoming
together.
God, but you are becoming the fullness of what God created you to be. And that, think about the difference of viewing that in your life, if that's a fundamental control belief of yours.
Yeah.
How you walk through life and deal with other people.
Yeah.
How you talk to other people.
And I also think it has a lot to do with what we think of, are our actions stronger than God's action, right? So where we end up reading a lot, or we start the reading, is in the fall, not in the original blessing. Hmm. So God looks at all of creation and says, oh, this is very good when he comes to humanity, right? Hmm. And so we think that our actions then ruin all that. No, the original blessing stays the original blessing. This is very good. Right? And sin, as we know, mars that and distorts that. And so the process of not sinning means to be reconnected in community and learning how to live, coordinating our lives in a way that like a child would grow up in his family.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of patience with our children. God has a lot of patience.
Some of us have a lot of patience.
We should have a lot of patience with our children. That's what I said.
You keep telling yourself that.
You know, maybe it'll happen if I...
I love you writes this. He said, Cain has forever been killing Abel.
Mm.
Wow.
The pattern is revealed from the very first children of Adam and Eve, yet thank God, and usually unnoticed, even Cain is marked for protection as he wanders east of Eden.
That's right.
And that marking became for Christians the sign of the cross, our vaccination against killing and being killed by our killing.
Yeah.
But our vaccination didn't always take. Who we worshiped, the scapegoat, usually became the scapegoaters too. Mm-hmm. Always the problem was elsewhere than in ourselves, and merely outside instead of inside.
I think, of course,
Rohr is just deep. But as I think about Good Friday, and it's a very solemn day, and this weekend. So whether you listen to this on Good Friday or Holy Saturday, you're in that darkness. And I learned, what's it called? The Triduum. We're using a lot of holy words now, a lot of big words. It's the 3 days where Jesus, we celebrate this 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb. And the reality that he was in the tomb. And what do you think about these churches? Like, there's some of these really big, big mega churches. They start having Easter services on Friday. Have you seen these?
Oh, yeah.
Because, we're so big and so great, we can't fit everybody in on Easter Sunday. So we're not even going to go to just Saturday night. We're going to go to Saturday morning. We're going to go to Friday night. Yeah. Oh, we're not even going to Thursday night. Hey. Come to Easter worship on Maundy Thursday.
It's like extending the sale, right? If you know you're going to sell some units on Sunday, let's just start it on Friday.
But I've seen that's a cultural trend,
in
some churches, some denominations. But I always kind of thought, man, it's moving away from kind of a groundedness in because you've got to walk through if you do Holy Week right and you do this to get to really. To get to what Easter really is, you got to go through Maundy Thursday. You got to go to Good Friday. You have to walk out of, figuratively, the sanctuary in darkness.
Yes.
You have to wander in darkness for a few days, lost,
don't
confused.
You think that maybe this is just my own depressive, outlook on life, but I think that most of us, most of the time, live in between that space, and there's blips that I experience kind of resurrection. Wholesale across the board in my life. And I'm like, yes, I get it. But most of the time I'm living in that in-between space of feeling forsaken, but also with a prayer, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's that space in between where is God, and at the same time saying, this God that I don't know is there, offering myself to this God to say, here I am. I surrender my life and my will to your care. I think that's where most of us, our marriages live, our raising kids live,
And I think it's, for people who, I think we've talked about this before, but, Protestants, all of our crosses are empty. there's no Jesus hanging on our cross. That you go to a Catholic church, right, and you've got, in the crucifix, Jesus is hanging on the cross. I think they do a much better job of connecting our suffering to the crucifixion and of walking through that. I think they have a much better and deeper and richer theology about
they've been at it a little longer.
We're just all about happy day, man. Let's just
get to Sunday.
Depressing Catholics, we just want to be up, hippity hoppity, Easter's on his way. I think what would be a good conversation, not today, but at some point. Hold on, I'm going to use my mute button. So, did you know that I have a mute button now?
It's so professional.
I have a mute button. You know why I have this? This is because we do the podcast after lunch.
And so you have gastrointestinal issues, John Stevens.
Acid reflux.
I have fallen in.
So good news for all of those who ever listen to or on this podcast is I now have a mute button.
It's good news for everybody except one
person. And the one good thing is it's liberated me. So now I can just
that waste
belt
my way.
Blow it to you. This is going to be so much fun.
I live in a toxic environment now.
From now on. See, we're done now. We have to stop. So, but from now on, we're gonna, the new segment's going to be, what did John have
what
for
did John?
Lunch?
Oh, wait, let me guess. Let me smell.
Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex again.
That's guessing.
Tex-Mex and a margarita again. All right, great, John.
That's going to be the new game. The guessing game. Not the five things you hope God or whatever you hear from God in heaven or whatever it's going to be.
What did John have for lunch?
That's going to be good. I even teared up.
Oh, I love that.
No, I think I, you know, just wanted to spend a few minutes with you on, you know, this Good Friday. Yeah. I do think, you know, lamenting the death of Jesus is important because, but we're also at the same time lamenting the death of Jesus with the hope that death does not have the last word.
That's right. Yeah.
In our lives. I think a reality you do as you get more mature in your spirituality is you start confronting death in more of a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is one of the things we talked about last week around gun violence and things like that is, you know, if you're afraid, if you live in fear of death, it changes the way you live your life. It changes the way you make decisions about all sorts of things. And if you come to this sort of acceptance that death is going to be a part of all of our stories, because then we have the sense of peace and calm, but only because we're able to walk through these 3 days every year and Holy Week of the final week of the life of Jesus, and kind of we know the story. This is not the end.
Yeah, it's interesting that Good Friday points us to an abyss that God assumes as his own. Right, because I think not just toward a abyss, but the abyss. Like one of the things that Freud and Jung had suggested is that most of us really are afraid. Our core fears are around either being overwhelmed with things that we cannot ever, we don't have the resources for, or being annihilated. Just meaninglessness. And I think that this abyss that is in all of us, that we're led to that space on Good Friday, and we see God descend into the abyss. That's our abyss, God's ascending. That's the human meaninglessness, our fear, God descends into. And I think that then we have this God who doesn't stand on the outside of the abyss, but assumes that problem of his own. You know, Peter says that he descends into hell.
Yeah.
And I think one of the theologians that was at Fuller when Michelle and I were there said something that continues to animate my own theology, that if Jesus descends into hell, then hell isn't a God-forsaken place. And so our own hells, divorce or our kids or whatever, it's death is not a God-forsaken place. God goes there.
Yeah. Well, I hope people have been able to participate in Lent this season in a full way.
Yeah.
And especially, even if you haven't, maybe take Good Friday. Yeah. And I think even if you miss this and you listen to it, Easter's gone. Yeah. It's past and I missed it. I think we can find our own rhythm of life where we cycle through.
Yes.
Descending into darkness and coming back up in life, because we're always going to be facing, you know, very difficult situations and confronting our mortality in life. So happy Good Friday to you.
Happy Good Friday to you.
Well, make sure if you listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe and you like. And as another thing, my mom, I tell him not to touch my nose. I'm doing real good today. I'm doing better.
It's good.
It's better. She also
four like, nose touches a night.
How do I like something? How do I like a thing? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You call John and his number
show
is.
Show you in June when I come to visit.
Right.
All right, buddy. I'm John Stevens.
And I'm Matt Russell.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.